Attention, attention, this is History Lost in Time.
And welcome to episode 48 of the History Lost in Time podcast. This podcast is available in German and English on YouTube, Spotify and Podcast.de, with social media presences on Blue Sky and Instagram.
The topic of this episode.
No weapon shaped the Cold War more than the atomic bomb. But an atomic bomb is useless if it can't be delivered precisely and safely to its target. It's known that bombers and missiles can be equipped with nuclear weapons. But do you know that this also works with artillery? If not, then let me introduce you to the M65 Atomic Annie, a gun so large it had to be pulled by two tractors. It had a gun barrel longer than a city bus and a 280mm shell with a warhead that could match the destructive power of the Hiroshima bomb.
Political agenda and background.
None really. However, the Ukraine war has brought nuclear weapons back into the spotlight. Therefore, it's certainly of general value to spread a little more knowledge about nuclear weapons.
The sources that were used.
I have compiled information here from a mix of online sources. I have taken care to only include information I have found in at least two places, and that seemed conclusive to me. However, there are no guarantees. It's the internet after all. The idea for the M65 Atomic Annie, this doomsday gun, originated in 1949. It was developed based on the German K5 railway gun, but was intended to drive on roads rather than rails. The M65 ultimately turned out to be a huge, rather bulky and not very mobile gun, weighing 83 tons and requiring a crew of 7. It required 2 tractors. Its firing range was 30 kilometers and its caliber was 280mm. For comparison, this is the same caliber used in the main guns of the SMS Schleswig-Holstein, the pocket battleship Admiral Graf Spee, and the battleships Scharnhorst and Gneisenau. The barrel length was 13 meters, as mentioned, longer than a standard public transport bus, which is more like 12 meters. What was the idea behind this weapon? The goal was to deploy tactical nuclear weapons on the battlefield, not just strategic nuclear weapons that would be used to wipe out cities. Furthermore, at the time the development of this weapon began, only aircraft were available as delivery vehicles for nuclear weapons. The first nuclear-capable missiles didn't appear until the mid to late 1950s, for example the American Redstone at the strategic level and the Honest John at the tactical level. In the Soviet Union, the equivalents would be the R-5M and the Luna or Frog. You could do something against aircraft, namely deploy interceptors and ground-based air defenses. But preventing the enemy from using artillery? That hasn't been achieved to this day, especially when the enemy only needs to fire a single shot from its gun. This was the case with the M65. The gun could fire a 15-kiloton nuclear warhead, enough to wipe out a battlefield of several square kilometers. The idea was to use the M65 to combat enemy troop concentrations. This required a flexibility that was difficult to achieve with bombers of that time. 20 of these guns were produced and stationed in West Germany, Japan, and South Korea. In practice, however, the weapon proved to be cumbersome. Due to its enormous size, it was difficult to move, very slow, and thus very vulnerable to air attack on a potential battlefield. Unlike a modern howitzer, it couldn't simply be attached to tractors and driven off. Instead, it had to be taken apart into 2 pieces before driving off. Setting it up in the field took half an hour, and it wasn't ready to fire during that time. It was therefore extremely vulnerable during setup and dismantling. The M65 proved to be more of a political statement than a realistic battlefield weapon. Within a few years, nuclear weapons were also being developed for the much more widespread and mobile 203mm and 155mm guns. Furthermore, missiles such as the aforementioned Honest John soon became available that could better fulfill the M65's role. The prestige weapon was therefore decommissioned in 1963. The Soviet Union nevertheless felt compelled to follow suit and developed the 406mm 2A3 and the 420mm 2B1 guns. These guns were operational by 1957, but were just as impractical, or actually even more so. Being even larger, they suffered from even greater mobility problems. Unlike the M65, however, they were not towed by tractors, but were mounted on the chassis of a T-10 heavy tank. During test firings with conventional ammunition, the recoil was so severe that the guns damaged themselves and recoiled up to 5 meters. Tests with nuclear ammunition were abandoned. Although both guns were used for propaganda purposes, for example at parades, they were decommissioned in 1960. Overall, only a few guns of each type were produced, fewer than 10 of each. The Soviet Union also quickly converted to surface-to-surface missiles. But the story of the M65 cannot be told without addressing the Upshot Knothole test series. This was a series of nuclear weapons tests in Nevada in the spring of 1953. From March to June, the US military detonated an atomic bomb every week, sometimes every 2 weeks. Things didn't always go according to plan. The first test, Annie, on March 17, 1953, proceeded in a manner similar to some tests that can be seen in old newsreels, an open test on a site with specially constructed houses, cars, and dummies. The bomb was installed in a tower and detonated in front of the assembled press. The journalists were able to follow the test, and here everything went according to plan. During the second test, Nancy, a week later, the fallout killed several thousand sheep in Cedar City, Utah. Tests 3 and 5, using uranium hybrid bombs, failed. The explosive yield was well under 1 kiloton. During the Encore test on May 8th, a military exercise involving 3,500 soldiers took place in the immediate vicinity, and they were exposed to a considerable amount of radiation. I read in another source that as many as 18,000 soldiers trained near several nuclear explosions as part of Exercise Desert Rock 5. The Harry test on May 19th was later dubbed Dirty Harry due to the massive fallout contamination it produced. The 32 kiloton bomb detonated as planned. However, due to a change in the weather, the fallout forecast proved inaccurate. The radioactive cloud was blown over populated areas. Fallout hit St. George, Utah, 200 kilometers away. Radiation levels were far higher than previously acknowledged. For a short time, many residents had to stay indoors. In the long term, cancer cases, especially leukemia and thyroid cancer, increased in the region. A prominent victim was the film crew of the John Wayne Western The Conqueror, which was being filmed there at the time. Many of the crew later developed cancer. The Atomic Energy Commission was harshly criticized. The test proved to be a public health and public relations disaster. Above-ground nuclear weapons tests, which had previously been considered relatively safe, were strongly questioned. The penultimate test in the series was called Grable. Here, the M65 fired its only live shot, a W-9 nuclear bomb with an explosive yield of 15 kilotons. This test was recorded on video and can easily be found online. Watching the sequence, one wonders whether such a weapon, capable of incinerating a medium-sized city, can truly be considered a tactical battlefield weapon.
A few finishing words.
The M65 and its Soviet counterparts, while technically impressive, were ultimately of little use on the battlefield. In practical use, they would have been vulnerable from the air, and at best would only have been able to fire one shot before being destroyed. Furthermore, their poor mobility required them to be properly positioned in advance. Enemy forces would have had to attack either predictably or very slowly, allowing the nuclear cannons to fire their shot from a prepared position. That one shot would have been enough to kill thousands or even tens of thousands. And that capability is sometimes enough to send a political message in a global test of strength.
Thank you. This was History Lost in Time.